in the gospel, okay, let's actually, we've been hearing from both the Gospel of John and the letter of John the last number of weeks, pretty much since Easter. I think there was one Sunday in there where we read our lesson from the Acts of the Apostles. But almost every other week, I believe every other week, we've read from the first letter of John. This is John the Apostle, who wrote both the letters and the gospel. The John that is at the island of Patmos, the island, where he's the one who lived a very long time. And most scholars think that he wrote his gospel and probably his letters about 70 years after Jesus died, around 100 AD. Maybe 10 years before that, like 90 AD, 60 years after Jesus died. Maybe a little bit afterward. But John clearly had a point to make in his gospel and in his letters. And throughout it, throughout the gospel, throughout the letters, we hear this point, and that's about loving others. He has got more stories in his gospel, more pericopes. Pericope is the fancy word for little passage. He's got more passages, more pericopes in his gospel about loving others than Matthew, Mark, and Luke do. His letters are very much about loving service. We hear at the end of the gospel here about how we are to be servants, how we are, you know, that we are servants to others, that we're not servants to the master, that we're his friends, because we keep his commandments and we know what he would like us to do. We know what he would like us to do, which is to keep his commandments. We know what the commandments are. It's to love. We know what the purpose is. We know the end goal. It is to love God and to love others. And that anyone who loves a parent loves the children. If we love God, we have to love all the children. If we're loving all the children, we need to love others. If we love God, we need to love others. In John's mind, it connects very clearly. I have to say that I've been very much formed personally by this message of John about loving others. To me, so much of our gospel is about serving and loving. It's about respecting and loving. It's about everybody being involved in our worldview and in our approach to life and in our service. So I've been very much formed in this message. This message of John's, I would say, is essential to our Christian faith. This message that John says is Jesus's primary message. Love God, love others, love yourself. To lay down your life for others as Jesus did for us. And that correlation between God the Father's love, Jesus's love, God's sacrifice, Jesus's sacrifice, it is an absolute direct correlation then for us to love and to sacrifice. And you've been hearing me speak about it. Humility 3 weeks ago, loving everyone 2 weeks ago, last week about abiding in God so that we can do this, loving of others and loving God. So why this big emphasis on the message of love, and that it is such a universal call that all of us are to love everyone? So it's a universal call, as in universal to everybody, and it is the call is to everybody, and the call is to serve everyone else. So it's got a universal mission. The mission of God's people, holiness, is loving. So why this? You go back to what scholars have tried to do with all of the Gospels and with all of the epistles, and even with the Hebrew Scriptures, is to try to figure out what the community is like, to whom these writers are writing, whom they are addressing. So Isaiah was addressing the people of Israel, but Ezekiel, you know, Isaiah was addressing these people in Israel. Ezekiel is addressing these people in Babylon. The message of the Leviticus, Deuteronomy, was to the people being formed in community and how to live in community. Mark was writing right before the fall of Jerusalem to the Romans. Matthew and Luke write about the time that Jerusalem was falling. Luke was writing to an intellectual community, to a community that probably Gentiles, to a group of people, and he was trying to make that connection, whereas Matthew, they have determined, was probably writing to Jewish people. The author of the letter to the Hebrews was writing to Hebrews, and so he was tying in very much the notion of the Hebrew spirituality to the Christian life and to what Jesus did. It's real obvious what Paul was writing. You know, Paul was writing to the people at Corinth. Paul was writing to the people at Philippi. Paul was writing to the people of Galatia. So to whom was John writing? And what was the main thing that he was addressing? Well, obviously, he wanted people to know that we are called to love universally. We are universally called to love universally. Why? Well, here's what the scholars have figured out, and I think it's very important for us to get just to. And yeah, this is intellectual. It's going to get into the practical. Hold on. Intellectually, there was a movement in the early Christian church called Gnosticism. Gnosticism was then grouped together with people who were called Gnostics. So here's the word, Gnostics and Gnosticism. They came up with this word out of the Greek word gnosis, or gnosis, Gnostic. It's like if you were to say swimming versus swimming, the NG sound, ng, that's at the beginning of this. So gnosis, it's not, or gnosis. It's just not plain like nose, but gnosis. Anyway, you can see the English word knowledge has kind of that, it's got the same root. In fact, you can write gnosis with a K in front of a G instead of a G, and gnostis and gnosticism, but generally you see it with the G. It can be written with the K, and the English word knowledge comes out of it. So in that early Christian church, there was a movement that was called Gnosticism, led by Gnostics, and what they were doing was claiming that they had a special knowledge about Jesus. And because these certain people had this special knowledge about Jesus, they got to lord it over a little bit other people. They claimed a special authority, a special knowledge, and then they were exerting their influence, exerting themselves over others. Like, ha, look at us, we're special. And because we're special, you need to listen to us and what we know and what we're saying. It's not the special knowledge like, okay, I've gone to seminary and I've learned this stuff and so I'm teaching you that. Or I go to the mechanic and the mechanics tell me the knowledge that they have about the car. Those people or I have learned these things. They weren't inspired. You know, we've got certifications, we've got diplomas, we've got experience, whatever. These people, these Gnostics, weren't claiming that they had a certification or that they'd had experience as far as lived experience. They were just claiming that they had this special knowledge, a special insight. And when they started proclaiming this special knowledge and exerting their influence over people, it became an us and a them, an upper and a lower, a hierarchical echelon. This became so problematic that there were councils that had to meet, and the church universally got together and said, this isn't the way it works. Anybody can have conversations with God, not just the Gnostics. And what they're claiming about their special knowledge of Jesus is not true. It's written out there, and everybody has access to it. Now, a prophet or a speaker might be inspired, yes, but that's a little bit different than what the Gnostics were claiming. And so the early churches actually declared Gnosticism, again, that the noun for it, Gnosticism, as a heresy. This movement was deemed heretical 200 to 250. But it was starting already by 100. And so there is a strong theory that says that John was writing to a community that was starting to believe that only certain people had the special knowledge. Kind of like how moms claim that they have their special knowledge, right? That's why I started with that today, with my opening comments about moms having special knowledge. It's these people are claiming that they had Jesus knowledge. Let's instead of mom knowledge, okay? So Jesus knowledge. And they were then saying that because they had this special knowledge, they were above others. John said, no, that's not the case. We are all children and we are all to be loved. They thought they should be loved a little bit more, served a little bit more, that they could command the others that were below them. And that's just simply not right. That's why John was talking about this. He said, it's not that some are servants to others, but that we are all servants to everyone, or that we are all friends of Jesus. That's what John was saying that Jesus said. He emphasized those things. I've spoken before about how the canon was formed, and I can make the analogy that if you and I were to have a conversation, or a group of us were to have a conversation, and then you were to ask us 6 days later, what do you remember about the conversation? We're going to remember different parts, the different parts that are more pertinent, or we're going to share out of all of the experience, we're going to share that which is most pertinent to the new conversation. So out of all of John's experience with Jesus, he was sharing what he felt was most pertinent, the most important part. And to him, the most important part, especially in face of this group of people claiming their special knowledge, was to claim that we are all universally called by God to be his children, called to be equal. And then we are called to serve, universally called to serve universally. And that the special knowledge is for all of us. That everyone who loves a parent, God, loves the child. And we are all children of God. And that in being children of God, we all obey the commandments. The commandments to love God, to love neighbor, and to love self. See how it's bound together, how it's interwoven? And John's main thing was that he wanted us to be on an equal plane. He didn't want a hierarchy. He didn't want there to be a special group. All know, all are called to love, all are called to serve. It's all of us. There is no special group. It's not just a group of men. We can have men and women. It's not just the whites. It's everybody of every color. It's not just the cisgender people. It's not just the Lutherans. It's not just the Christians, for that matter. We, as Christians, have the special knowledge of Jesus' resurrection. But all people are the children of God. All the ends of the earth shall proclaim the glories of God. God has come to reveal his glory to all the nations. Now his glory is Jesus. His loving service is Jesus. And Jesus' loving service is his death and his resurrection. So our special knowledge, if you will, the special knowledge that all of us universally can have equally, is to be in loving service to everyone. I don't get to play favorites in the congregation. I don't get to just serve the new people or just the people who've been here forever. I don't get to serve just the children or just the elderly. I don't get to serve just the sick or just the healthy. I'm called to serve everyone. I'm called to serve my daughters and my son equally. I don't get to serve just one of them more than the others. All of us are called to love everyone else. All of us are to lay down lives for all others. All of us can be saved. This is the special knowledge. There's not a group of Gnostics. There's not a group of moms with mom's knowledge. You know, Jesus is with Jesus' knowledge. It's for all of us. All of us have the opportunity to know personally what Jesus has done for us. All of us personally can know that we have been saved, all of us can then know the joy and the peace and the life and the hope and the gift of Jesus' resurrection. And all of us are called to serve all others. Find the way to serve everyone. And it takes humility, as I spoke about 3 weeks ago. It is a universal call, like I spoke about 2 weeks ago. It is something that is not always easy to do. So we need to abide in our Lord, like I spoke about last week. It's the way that we praise the Lord. It's the way that we serve the Lord. John, in his gospel, and even more so in his letters, is making that point. So, that's the practical part of that whole background thing. There's not a group of Gnostics with special knowledge. There's a group of all of us with the special knowledge that Jesus died and arose for all of us. With the special knowledge that God loves all of us. With the special knowledge that every one of us can be forgiven. That every one of us can be drawn to the light. That every one of us can live in the light. We want to do that. After our prayer and after this sermon, we're going to sing the song, O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee. We want to walk in this very special way. We want to walk with our Lord, all of us, in all ways, all the time. No special groups. All of us with that special knowledge. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have gifted us, and this gift is special. And each of us can have the special knowledge of knowing what it is like to live because your Son lives. To live and praise Him with alleluias. To live because He lives. To love because He loved. To serve because He served. To have joy, peace, hope because of His resurrection. Help us to do this. Help us all to do this. And Father, help us all to help all others. We need your grace to do this. So surround us with your grace. Strengthen us with your Spirit. Encourage us by your love so that all of us universally can love all others universally. Father, we ask this through your Son, Jesus, who served all of us with his death and his resurrection, who lives now and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit as one God, our God, forever and ever. Amen. And so for our daily life, we ask that we are able to walk with the Master, and we put that prayer to song. Let's join together in our song. Then we offer ourselves to our God in our collection and our offering and giving up of our gifts. And then as we pray together and we go out into the world, we are sent to love and serve the Lord and one another, and we say thanks be to God. May we all have a blessed and holy week. Take care. Bye now.